Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on.
And what's up, everybody? Dave Destruction Sturgio here in the house for episode 25 of Destruction 101. Welcome. We are presented by now two networks. The Shining Wizards Network, always my boys, Tony, Matt, Kevin, and Eddie. Those guys put together my show, and they do a fantastic job. Along now with B Plus Player Radio, Mark Adam Haggerty and his crew, or just him, I don't know really how it works, but has brought Destruction 101 onto a new network, so that means a new audience, so that means you're going to have to go and catch up, because this is episode 25, we're embarking on 250,000 downloads and listens, meaning a quarter of a million people have heard my voice at one point or another, and I can't thank you enough. That's a lot of support for somebody who's just doing this from his apartment and with his own equipment and no studio, no corporate sponsors, none of that stuff. Not yet, at least. Trust me, I'm trying. If you'd like to be a sponsor on Destruction 101 and get your business out there, please inquire within. Call me up, text me, message me, whatever it takes to get the job done. We'll talk, we'll negotiate. It's a good opportunity for you to have your commercial or me read one of your, you know, whichever company you work for or whatever, or your upcoming shows or whatever the case may be. Speaking of upcoming shows, we are on our way to July 13th for WrestlePro, Allentown, New Jersey at the Freedom Festival. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think there's going to be a lot of traffic in there. You know, I really do truly think that there's going to be a lot of people. I still have to figure out what I'm going to wear. I know it sounds kind of weird. I'm just like, I wear a suit. What else? But we are going to be outside in the heat. So I have to either figure something out or just, I don't know, change it up a little bit because it's going to be blistering hot. I'm assuming. I mean, we can get one of those days where it's 75 degrees and it's perfect. But we don't know. And based on Pat Buck's resume with the weather, it's never worked out well. But we've always overcome, and that's cool. This Friday night in Queens, Bree Combination Wrestling. I will be alongside Pete Rosado doing commentary for them, making my debut for them. Looking for somebody to go with. I hate driving by myself. It is what it is. I mean, I'll kill the time. Being by myself is not the end of the world. I plan on being by myself today all day, which is, it's 9:30 as I record this on a Tuesday morning rather than your 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock recording after school, after work, after all my activities. I'm doing everything first. Going to work out after this, and then I'll probably grab some lunch and head to the pool. My father's pool is like no other, and I've preached about it enough, but, tomorrow, Wednesday, as this drops, I might have some of the boys and ladies of WrestlePro come on over and, hang out. So we're all building a great camaraderie. I saw a lot of cool stuff, not only just the footage of the main event, but pretty much the whole show. I've watched, the June 10th from Keyport show. I have all the footage. I have exclusive backstage footage, which is pretty cool. That won't be released until, you know, a further date, but it's very cool to see the camaraderie that the guys and the girls have built at WrestlePro, and I can't tip my hat more to Pat Buck, Kevin Matthews, Mario Bacara, Dan Moff, especially, you know, Falaba, the Carinos, all the vets of our company who are guiding us to where we want to go. So this episode is a little special. I have not had a guest on in the first 24 episodes. That changes today. We will have on independent wrestler Chris Payne, my best friend in the business. I've known him since basically I've started wrestling. We've gone up through, obviously, just like any other friendship, ups and downs. There was a period of time where I didn't talk to Chris at all. I didn't talk to any of the boys for a little while. And, you know, I held them responsible. And I was real bitter and nasty and just a douche. But We've since reconciled all that. We've taken trips together. We've gone down to Orlando together. Yes, Raleigh, we've gone down to Orlando together. We've roomed together. We've hit the road together. He's a stand-up dude. He is an NYPD officer by day and a wrestler by the weekend. And a lot of cool things that he discusses is his journey, his trips down to WWE, NXT, his trip to Mexico. One thing we didn't touch on, which is actually pretty funny because this is one of the one things that I wanted to touch on, is the benefit show that he set up for August for the NYPD. It's a fundraiser for them. WrestlePro will be hosting that in Staten Island, New York. So if you ever want to take the trip over to Staten Island for whatever reason, I know there's not many motives to go over to Staten Island because I think it's just a fucking cesspool of people. So sorry to upset anybody who's actually from Staten Island, but every time I've ever gone over there, it's just been a fucking terrible experience. But yeah, so that's in August. We'll hear from Chris Payne in a little bit. Gino Gotz kicked in the head. We'll talk about the Yankee skid. We'll talk about everything. We'll talk about some wrestling that just happened. If you guys were watching Monday Night Raw, we saw something pretty significant in a heel turn that doesn't really happen anymore. If you really think about it, when's the last time you saw something as cool as that? And I have to date back to Triple H and Shawn Michaels of 2002, you know, when nobody saw it coming. And all of a sudden, wait a minute, they're best friends, they're brothers. How can he do this? Blah, blah, blah. I think the Cass and Enzo thing has a lot of legs, or it's just a push for Cass to the moon and Enzo's going to fall. Don't know. I guess we'll find out in the coming weeks. What did I do last weekend? So it was the old wife ski's birthday weekend. And so Friday night, we decided to go out to Woodbridge, Mulberry Street. Go check them out. Great Italian food. We know the bartender is a good friend of ours. And we went out there, had some dinner, which was funny. The way that ended was, you know, the bartender, our friend, asked my wife, do you want dessert? It's on the house. It's for your birthday. It's on the house. And, you know, she's like, I don't really have a sweet tooth right now. No big deal. And he's like, okay, fine, no big deal. And like 5 minutes later, they come out with this massive meatball. I'm talking like the size of like a softball meatball with a candle in it. So that was her dessert, which was pretty funny. And supposedly, and I don't eat meat, so I, you know, oh my God, he doesn't eat meat yet. No, I don't eat meat. And so I couldn't tell you how good it was, but she said it was great. So that was that. Saturday, I went out to the movies, and I was pumped about the movie, but at the same time, kind of skeptical. I asked Kevin Matthews. He's a big movie guy, especially, you know, a shark movie guy. I'm a shark movie guy. So, like, we've seen all the classics. Obviously, everybody's seen Jaws. But I'm a big fan of, like, Deep Blue Sea with LL Cool J and Michael Rapaport and all those people. I'm a big fan of that. It was one of my favorite movies. I watched it a million times over with my best friend, John, who had passed away in 2007, which is actually coming up on 10 years this year. So I'll do a nice little tribute episode to him when that comes. But so Deep Blue Sea was fantastic. I love shark movies. So now I got 47 Meters Down with Mandy Moore and some other blonde chick. She's attractive. I don't really know. But I'm a big Mandy Moore guy because I'm a huge Entourage fan. And her episodes on Entourage, she just couldn't look better. And then you watch, I binge watched This Is Us, like a big softy, and which is a phenomenal series. I can't knock it anymore because it's that good. And so Mandy Moore's been fresh in my mind. So I'm like, oh, wow, she's finally getting another push in Hollywood. So let me go check out this movie. So I check out the movie. I watched it for what it was worth. It was a cool movie. Like, if you see, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the concept is, her and her sister go on vacation. They meet some Mexican dudes. They say, like, hey, you should go on our excursion, which is a fucking shark diving cage expo. And they do it. And, of course, you know, what happens? You know, the cable breaks. Now they're on the bottom of the ocean 47 meters down. How are they going to get to the top? Because they can't swim too fast because something happens to your head and you get, like, nitrogen bubbles? I don't know. Some kind of bubbles in your brain. It kills you. Or, oh, by the way, there's fucking six great white sharks swarming around. So it's a cool concept. But then, like, when I broke it down with Kevin after, it was just, I'm like, what the fuck did I just watch? Like, it had made no sense to me whatsoever. But again, it's a shark movie. It made me jump out of my chair a couple times. But it was, whatever. I give it, like, a fucking C. Or, like, 2.5 stars out of 5. But then again, I'm usually a big fan of one-star movies, you know, like the Tommy Boys, the Black Sheeps. Like, those aren't, like, critically acclaimed fucking great movies of all time. They're just comedies. And they are what they are. They're worth what they're worth. But if you want to go see it, go see it. Wait till the DVD, or if people buy DVDs anymore, I truly don't know. Speaking of DVDs, I went down memory lane yesterday, and sometimes I do this from time to time. I'll bust out the old PWS DVDs and a couple of my first matches, only because me and Chris were just talking about it on the interview. And a lot of cool shit, a lot of funny things, you know, a lot of our first or second match, or, you know, our first little run where we said we were over. I mean, you listen to the crowd. I mean, yeah, they were chanting for us. So because, you know, you bring the people in and that's who's going to cheer for you. So, so I took a trip down memory lane. I got a lot of DVDs from the old company, and it was cool to see. And look, I'll be honest. I love my position right now. The ring announcing, the commentary, all that shit. Being social media savvy with everybody in the company. Just embracing my role for everything it's worth because of an early exit, okay? It was an early exit. I feel like I'm still in decent shape. Probably a little more out of shape than I have used to be. But that's going to change in the next couple weeks because I'm about to start training camp with the Franklin High School Warriors over in my town. And I'm going to be an assistant coach, and I'm going to be running around with these kids who are just, you know, if you're on a football team in high school, eight times out of 10, you're a great athlete. So I got to be running with these kids. So I think I'm going to shred a lot of like excess weight. And I think I'm going to come into, you know, a stride where I'm in the best shape of my life. Now, people have asked, and, you know, some of my closest friends, is it over? Is, like, the whole wrestling thing, the physical part of it, is it done? And I always say, yeah, because, I mean, like, because I'm loving everything that I'm doing. But always, you always get that little tiny itch. I mean, my career wasn't extraordinary. It wasn't even good in some people's eyes. It wasn't the amount, the total quantity of matches aren't even that high. You know, I had a lot of cool spots, and I had a lot of cool matches, but they weren't ever, I wasn't wrestling every weekend like some of my boys. I was wrestling strictly for PWS, a little SWF, a little UPWA. Like, I did branch out a little bit, but not enough to, you know, fill that fucking weekend wrestling warrior card. I never did that. And then obviously I tore my ACL. Huge discouragement. I was fucking scared to get back in the ring. Like, it's just one of those things where it's just one thing led after another, and here I am. So do I have the itch to go back and say one more match or something like that? Yeah, of course, it's there. I'm an athlete by trade. I've been an athlete my entire life, so I want to compete. So yeah, I know that was a little rant, but it's true. You know, I miss it. I, you know, believe it or not, I do miss the bumping around for a little while. I miss getting blown up. But again, you truly never know. But, yeah, so anyway, where was I? Friday. That all stemmed from 47 meters down. Sunday was Father's Day, and I hope everybody enjoyed their Father's Day and spent it with a lot of great dads out there. And, you know, nothing makes me happier, and this is true, and I'm not, like, just saying it just to be a good guy. Like, nothing makes me happier than to see the appreciation that people show for their fathers. Whether they, honestly, and it's, you know, shout out to the people, you know, my friends, my close friends that lost their dads last year. And there was a couple of them. And, you know, one of them being one of my best friends. And Uncle Richie passes away, you know, a couple months back. Is it been a month already? 2 months? It's been, I don't know. It's flying, though. And, you know, we all miss him on this day. And seeing pictures of him surface from everybody, it's just really, really, it's awesome. And, you know, my other friend lost his father, and, like, seeing that, you know, there's comparison pictures between, because he's a father now, it's just a lot of cool stuff, and it's stuff like that. For me, personally, I enjoy Father's Day more than Mother's Day, because my father he played dual roles, you know. My entire life, I grew up, you know, I didn't grow up bad at all. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting like, oh my God, I was in a shelter. No, I always had a house. I always had the pool. I always had food on the table. But, you know, my parents did get divorced when I was like 7 or 8 years old. So it happens at a young age. I take it personally, thinking it's all my fault. You know, the typical kid thing to do. And for whatever reason, from that 8 years old till I graduated middle school, I was with my mother. And those were shittier times. Like, they were just, they weren't, I mean, I was in an apartment. I was in another house with some other guy that if I ever see him again, I'll fucking cut his throat. And that's the truth. But yeah, I mean, there was always, it was, we were always on the move. My dad was always, he was always looking after us, you know, the child support, stuff like that. You know, everything a father should do in a divorce situation, he did. There was no arguments whatsoever. He let my mom have the house for a little while until he said, you know what, that's my fucking house. And it's true. I think that he should have taken the house a long time ago, but, you know, my mother being my mother, she somehow had the house. But not trying to get too deep, but my dad played a significant role in my life, and he truly is my hero. He's my role model, my inspiration, my motivation, all I want to do. And I said this on Instagram and Facebook and all of my social medias. All I want to do is be him. And do I think I'm failing at it? Yeah. Only because, like, obviously I'm not as financially successful yet. Will that time come? I have no idea. I envision it, yes. But, you know, you never know. But he's just an awesome guy, and he's supported me, and he's always provided for my brother and I, and it's never been a struggle growing up under him. And I can't thank him enough. And I hope that if your father plays a role in your life, that I don't think he's going to be just as good as my dad, and that's just me being biased, but I think that all dads should play that significant power role in your life to make sure that you grow up to be a good person. There's been times where I was not a good person, and I really reflected back and said, oh my God, my dad would not be doing this. And I said that a million times. You know, he's even, you know, broke down to me and said, you know, you're not being the kid I raised, you know. And there's been a lot of dark times in my life where I flipped off the handle, and I just, you know, totally went my own direction, and I just thought I was a rebel and yada, yada, yada. And I was not a good person. I was not a good person at all. And it was not a reflection on him. My mom she's, nobody really knows my mom like me or my close friends, but to me, I just consider her shot. You know, she's just so, I don't know what she did when I was a kid or what she was into, but now it's just very monotone. Just, she's very high strung at points, but like, she's just, I don't know. Everybody's got a crazy uncle. I got a crazy mother. Okay. I have an amazing stepmom, who's taken great care of me for the last like decade. And so she's filled that void, but I never had that motherly mother growing up. But not trying to get too deep or trying to make everybody like, oh, he's got no mommy, you know, but it's not like that. But I do love my dad, and happy Father's Day again to him. Yeah, so that's really it. But we're going to go right into the interview now, because I feel like it's appropriate. I feel like it's a great interview with Chris. And you're going to learn a lot of stuff. I think you're going to learn a lot of stuff about him, about the wrestling business, about how to conduct yourself as a man, just like we were talking about. So when we come back, we're going to play a little tune. We'll come back with Chris. We'll take a break with Chris. We'll get kicked in the head by Gino Gotz, and then we'll finish up with Chris when he answers some of your questions, and then I'll close it all out, and we will wrap this bad boy up. So when we come back, Chris Payne, everybody. Welcome to, I guess we're going to call this the interview of the week and or the first ever interview on Destruction 101.
Interview of the year.
Joined by none other than EJ5 member, because he's very proud to be a member of the EJ5, Chris Payne.
How That's are we That's because there's five of us.
Well, Chris Payne, welcome to the show. I'm glad you finally decided to show up to my humble abode and not Skype it like everybody else is asked to do.
Skyping is stupid. You do stuff in person.
So a lot of people have seen your social media, and they always seem to know how happy you are on the regular. So I'm glad you're here with us today. Us meaning me and the cat.
Yeah. And the cat.
Dez is hanging out with us. So what's up? I mean, how you been, buddy?
Nothing, but let's bring up Dez for a second. And yes, he's a cat.
He's talking shit about my cat, folks.
No, I'm not talking shit about your cat. I'm just going to talk about shit about cats in general, because I used to have cats, and I want to know why wrestlers have a weird obsession with cats.
Besides me, I only see like EC3 posting stuff with his cat.
Who else? I see a lot of other people.
Jordan Grace?
I'm not going to. Girls are fine. They can have their pussies. I am not going to condone male wrestlers being pet owners of cats.
Okay, well.
So that's it. Other than that, I'm great.
We're going to wrap things up here. So
good talk.
All right, so how is wrestling? Well, you know what? First and foremost, because the majority, if not all of my listeners, probably don't know who the fuck you are. So tell us the Chris Payne story in a nutshell. I mean, we could be here for hours and hours and hours, but you've been wrestling with WrestlePro now since it's...
I'll run down my pedigree.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, give me a resume.
Chris Payne, in-ring name, real-life name.
Okay.
I stand at 6'2 officially.
Officially 6'2.
From the doctors.
My height.
I am 6'2. That would be an inch taller than you, Dave.
I'm 6'1 and a half, for the record.
Regardless, I'm 210 pounds of legitimate, hard-earned
Twisted Steel
gains.
Sex appeal.
Okay?
As he's wearing his DeFranco's workout shirt. That's where you're coming from today, right?
It's exactly where I came from. Because as a professional wrestler, it's your job to be in the gym.
Well, some indie corporations and companies don't feel the need to express that to their talent.
No, they'd rather look like they booked 10 guys that came out of the local bodega. But that's fine.
So, all right. So
I'm 6'2", 210 pounds.
Right.
People that do know me know I'm a police officer. I got a Navy background. I was
NYPD.
In the NYPD.
All right.
I was in the U.S. Navy for 4 years where I was a military police officer. The things that I like. Jurassic Park.
Clearly.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
Jeeps.
All right. Well, listen. Ladies, if you're listening... No, just kidding. He's a happily married man. Hello, Michelle. She's probably not listening.
She's pregnant, which means I'm miserable.
So. Oh, man. That's right. You haven't even gone, like, official with that.
Oh, she's not. We're hoping that we have a baby in the future.
Okay. Well, anyway. All right. So you obviously look the part. You're one of my best friends in wrestling. And so you started with me in 2012.
Yeah, a couple months behind.
But you had a little training prior, correct?
Yeah.
In a shit school.
A couple of schools that they no longer exist.
This was the plan the entire time, while in the Navy, while, you know, becoming a cop?
When I was younger, to be honest, I'm not going to be like everybody else, okay? I loved wrestling when I was younger, okay? My dad took me to see my first event which at the time was the Brendan Byrne Arena, which people knew to be the Continental Airlines Arena, mm-hmm. and then became the IZOD. Went there. The first person that I ever interacted with was Tito Santana. So ever since that day, wrestling was it for me.
Still working
at 103. But kudos to him because he's a teacher, so he does make a difference in people's lives. That aside, I've always wanted to be a wrestler. I've always wanted to be around wrestling, you know, shows, just meeting people and stuff like that. So when I was 17, I was a young jerk off. I wasn't a bad kid, but I just, you know, didn't pay attention. I thought it'd be cool to play wrestler. So I decided to join a school. I didn't work out. I did stupid shit like other kids did, and I didn't really take it serious. I thought it was cool to say I was a wrestler.
A lot of, unfortunately, that seems to be the trend. With
There's a lot of that trending right now.
Yeah.
19, pretty much the same thing. Met up with one of the guys that was a trainer at the other place. They started their own school, and, you know, same scenario. Just, you know, doing whatever. Cool to say wrestler. Oh, and pick it back up.
Right.
Shit happened in life. I had to do something because I didn't go to college. I did college for a semester, and that did not work out well, so I joined the Navy at 20.
Okay.
When I was in the Navy,
Is that the normal age to join the military, or usually right out of high school?
Usually right out of high school, people do it. They know.
Couple years to kind of assess.
I needed to find myself. I needed to get discipline and structure in my life.
Right.
And
the military will do that for you.
Exactly. So I did that, and 100% made a change. Became a man. Actually, became a man. Like, you don't really hear that too often, but I came out as a man. But I knew when I was in the Navy that I wanted to come out and pursue wrestling, but I knew I needed to have a job when I came back out because that was the whole reason of me going to the Navy, so I could be secure when I got out. So the plan was Navy, NYPD, do wrestling in the middle and see where that goes.
Right.
Never in a million years did I think that I could, you know, WWE was a possibility, because I never knew the roads and the route to take to get to that. So I knew that I wanted to do wrestling when I came back.
Right.
I literally went to one school after that for a day. The other schools were just impossible with the schedule that I had for the NYPD. The one school that I had was in Brooklyn. It's near a bridge. If you know where I'm talking about, it was a fucking disaster.
This is the one Kevin Matthews always puts over so well?
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's the same one that he puts over all the time. Yeah, he puts over. The one he always talks about all the time. Right. I was there for an hour and a half. Students were teaching the class. They didn't even, like... I was like, does he come out of the office? They were like, no. So At that time, if it was 5 years earlier, I wouldn't have said anything about it. It would have went about my day.
Right.
Hour and a half into training, I went to his office, took my money off the desk, and I said, "You don't come out of the office." He said, "No." I said, "Great, I don't train here." Took my shit and I left, and that was it.
So, were you at that point, since this is the first taste of pro wrestling training, were you kind of discouraged, like, "Fuck this, I'm not wrestling anymore"? Like,
no, I was. Were you ready to get out already? I wasn't discouraged. I knew that I wanted to do wrestling, but I knew I needed to go someplace that wasn't full of bullshit.
Right.
Okay. So,
it's a large gap.
Yeah,
it was.
It was, and A couple years, I couldn't find anything that was relatively close to me where I could do my job. And
right.
being fresh on the police department, it wasn't like, you know, it is now where I could take a couple of days off. Like, I needed to be around. I had to get my feet wet and learn that job as well. So
right.
trying to do both at the same time was a little bit tough. So, you know, I just basically fucking left a couple of years and just, you know, nothing happened. And then I was going to meet a wrestler, like a mark I am, because we're all marks in this business.
There's marks, and then there's, like, ridiculously, please stop it.
Yeah. I was one of those guys that respected people, but I wanted to meet people that, influenced my life.
100%. So, I still want to meet Shawn Michaels.
So, you know, I met Hogan, and when I was going to meet Hogan, I ran into somebody that did talent vending for PWS.
Okay.
And that's how I found out about Pat School. Right. And then I went down there, and...
For those of you listening, I know Pat, either it's a legal thing or it's not, but... He doesn't like to mention PWS, Pro Wrestling Syndicate. That was his baby first. You know, it had some legs before the school started, but it just was always just a spot indie show, not a lot of stuff. But as soon as Pat Buck associated himself with that, it took off between the school, the larger cards, the super cards, have you. So the PWS school started in June of 2012. I was one of the first guys to get in there because I was on... I went to a Matt Hardy show when Sid didn't show up, so I was at that show.
Jay Lethal.
And Jay Lethal was Jay Vicious or whatever he was. Yeah. So I was at that show. We all started the school. There was about 12 of us, and then it
grew. The fucking core 12.
The core 12. And we actually look back now. Now, what is it? 5 years later.
It's almost five.
It's officially five years later. And not a lot of the original 12 are still around. You know, your Damian Gibbs are still floating around the Independents. Craven Varro is still around. You just recently competed against him. I'm around in a different capacity now. But that's it. Out of the first 12 kids, you don't see anybody else. We all had our first Battle Royal in September. You were to be a part of that.
I sprained my knee.
You sprained your knee. And others included Mike Dell. Mike Dell was a part of that as one of the outsiders. There was a couple guys of note. Lance Anawaii was on it. Rex Lawless was a part. Francis Kip Stevens, who's also on Creative Pro New York's main roster. So there was the Carinos were involved on that card. So a lot of us started, you know, with our first matches in September of 2012. We had a lot of mentors. The Carinos have been doing it for a little while. But now Chris Payne, enter a new shot at pro wrestling, PWS. And first and foremost, I think me and you were the most over for the first 3 months because we had the most people come and see us. But that's all it took. It's all it took was for people to come see us.
It's easy when
I think they're saying, we want Dave. No. Payne's got 50 Staten Island people.
In section L3.
Yeah.
Top right of the bleachers.
Of the bleachers. But so that's where you get your restart in wrestling. And you're how old at this point? At that point. So 5 years ago.
5 years ago, I was 30. 29.
I started
30.
Yeah, I started at 27. So a lot of people are always wondering, is it too late to start, after 30? There was a couple guys that started the school in June of 2012 above the age of 30, and it just didn't pan out. And some of them are still floating around doing spot shows here and there. You know, it is what it is. They're doing their thing. And if they still enjoy it, great. So you get your restart at 30, and PWS is on fire now because we're putting on these massive shows. I guess PWS was alive from 2000, for us, was 2012 to about 15. The end of 15.
End of 15.
So for 3 years, give me some of your notables. I mean, for people who don't know, I mean, I know some of the stuff that you've accomplished in those first 3 years, but it would seem to the average, you know, fan that you did a lot of shit in 3 years. I think. I mean, the Mexico thing. Like,
well, yeah.
You did
a lot of shit. I was in Mexico City. In Mexico, I wrestled Ultimo Dragon. I was able to wrestle Rob Van Dam in a triple threat with Bonesaw. I did, it was me and Meany versus the Carinos. I had a feud, I think it was, How long was that feud with Myers?
Kurt Hawkins, who's now back on Monday Night Raw, and his friends are now a part of this podcast, which you'll hear later on, Shooting with the Source and the Stallion. But, that program was great.
Eddie Kingston, I wrestled David Starr.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys and a lot of things you've done in that PWS, so it's not all bad except for the...
Well, I didn't wrestle David Starr there, but in those 3 years I wrestled
him. Right, it doesn't all have to be PWS, so. But we had a lot of good times, and obviously, half of the company was crooked because of the owner.
Meaning one.
Yeah, the half owner. So Pat separates himself. Now, in this transformation of PWS now into WrestlePro, a lot more shit happened to you as far as professional wrestling, where opportunities were now expanding. Elaborate your first interaction with WWE.
That was that 14?
2000, when you were an extra?
December 2014 when I was
there. You did a couple extra work, right?
I did extra there. I did 15. I did the extra spot. Roman Reigns threw me out of the ring.
Would you ever put in your any hashtags or Twitter handles that you were Superman punched by Roman Reigns?
I'm going to go with never, Dave. Thank you for 500.
Okay, and that answer will be. So yeah, stop being weird.
Your mother, Trebek.
Stop being weird marks for yourself. A lot of guys got a lot of extra work. I know you were
Dude, extra work is extra work. It is what it is. You go there,
you're in the environment.
That's it.
You're in the environment.
You get a taste of it and it just makes you hungry for more.
Right, and people have been, what are those things?
Rosebuds?
Rosebuds, yeah. It was a lot of those people. And so who and how did you get your NXT... Technically, was it a tryout? Yeah, it was, right? I mean...
No, NXT happened after I had my tryout.
So you had a tryout WWE.
I did two rounds of extra work for WWE in 14 and 15, and then in 2016 in February, I had a tryout down in Orlando at the Performance Center for 3 days.
Right. So, were you with anybody of note? Any of our boys?
Nice was down there.
Tony Nice. So who is now signed to a WWE contract.
Yeah,
so.
Nice was down there. Seth Alexander was down there. As far as our guys, Nice was, one of the more recognizable guys.
Right, because he was north. Up north with NYWC, the Creator Pro, also Creator Pro New York. All right, so you get your tryout.
Yep.
How'd that go?
I had a good tryout.
Did you get positive critique from...
I got great critiques. And then, Couple of the people that I never had met in my life down there had told me that they had overheard people talking about me, saying that I had a good look and that I worked well. And I don't know what happened, because at the end, the main man, I spoke to him and basically said that I was too old and that he had a lot of younger guys that were full of piss and vinegar. Which to this day, I still don't know what the fuck that means, because if anybody knows me, I might be 35, but I act like I'm a 20-year-old.
This is very true. But now my question to you, that the tryout happens.
Yep.
You get said to that. How the hell did you get back to NXT?
I basically reached out, asked if they needed any extra work, told them I was going to be in Orlando at the time that one of the tapings was happening.
So you flew yourself down there?
Well, I was down there on vacation with my family already, I didn't even I was going to be there regardless.
Right.
So I'm not a loss.
Right.
Got a payday from them, so it's like a wash, basically.
Right.
I wrestled the Authors of Pain. I asked him if it mattered that my last name was Payne, and I was told by the booker that, no, it doesn't matter, they're going to kill you anyway.
Which you can find that on the WWE Network under the NXT episodes. I don't know which episode it is offhand.
It's like 216.
he doesn't know the minute.
I don't know.
Episode 260, possibly, of NXT. You can find Chris Payne on NXT. So after NXT happens... the Authors of Pain, obviously, they ran through you. They ran through Bowens.
Yep.
They ran through a lot of guys. And I'll be completely honest, I have not watched a lot of NXT lately. I just don't find the time to do so. But after NXT's over, and you get your, do you get more critique after that?
No, I was basically told like the same line that they basically tell everybody else. So I mean, like,
good job. It's just not what we're looking for right now.
It's good. Good job. That was great. You did good business with us, and don't think it goes unnoticed. We've always noticed you do good business with us. So, blah blah blah. And then you just gotta keep grinding, keep hitting them up,
and now just
them and stay persistent and annoying.
And just as of recent, you've been training with the same guy that literally trains Triple H. So you have.
The
company.
I'll clarify this. I train at the Franco's gym. Joe DeFranco does train me every now and then, but I train with Cameron Joss, who is Undertaker's main trainer.
So the guy responsible for Taker to get through a match at WrestleMania, you're getting trained by my guy. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's notable, and for crying out loud, for indie wrestlers nationwide, worldwide, this is the kind of shit you got to put in. You got to put in the extra work. It's not all about the bumps and stuff you take in the ring or at a training facility like a creative pro. You got to look the part too. There's a lot of people that just don't look the part. And would you say right now at 35, you probably, and based on what I've seen, you are in the best shape of your life right now.
If you look at my picture from the very first match that we had with that 5-on-5 at PWS, I looked like a bag of shit.
So did I.
If you look at me now.
And I continue to look like a bag of shit.
Well, consistency is always appreciated.
And that's why I wear a suit. So anyway, all right.
No, I mean, if you can tell the difference. Like, you know, you have to make that decision if you're going to look like a professional, if you're going to look like a fucking trash bag wrestler your whole life. And you need to do your part in all aspects. You need to be professional inside and outside of the ring. You got to look the part. You got to act the part. So
now we're in 2017. You're just coming off another tag team match. You're getting booked a little more than what
starting to pick it up a little bit.
Now, is that your approach? You want to get out there all over? Are you trying to stay consistent with just a few companies? Like, for me, I know it's a totally, totally different area, but like, for me to go commentate for 5 companies is me getting out there, you know? But now, in my head, as I go to these other companies and I experience what I experience, I'm just like, I just want WrestlePro to be on every weekend. You know what I mean?
No, like, 100%. And I feel the same exact way. I would love if WrestlePro ran once a week on a Saturday.
Right.
I would love that more than anything because I'd stay with them. I'd have no reason. I would want to go other places just because it's a different area, different territory.
Right.
Just so other people see me that might not know who we are or who I am. But I do want to get out there more. I definitely want to get out there more. I just don't want to put myself out there, and I'm, you know, you can say whatever the fuck you want about me. I think I'm a good wrestler. I think I'm pretty good.
Anybody who's seen any of your recent stuff, you know, has to agree.
I think I looked the part, and I think I'm working my ass off to get to the next level. Right. And I don't want to do other promotions that are putting out shit. Right. I don't want to go to a promotion.
And they're out there. Unfortunately, there's a lot of them out there.
You're not
looking for a payday. You're looking for the experience, more or less. Because you make your money. You have a career.
I have a career. Great. I don't want to do that anymore. I have done 14 years of giving my life, of sacrificing my body every day. Whether I get fucking a call to go save a squirrel out of a house, or if it's go put my life in danger. Every day for 14 years, I am on call to put my life in harm's way for somebody else.
Right.
And I'm at the point now where I want to do something for me. This is for me. Wrestling is for me. And wrestling, believe it or not, you can provide a good fucking life for your family, which is evident if you get to the show. And that's what I want
to
do.
Let's not just say get to the show, because there's plenty of guys on the independents that are doing rather well.
100%.
And they didn't start, like, I'm not talking about like a Cody Rhodes, who's like obviously on fire right now. But I mean, like,
right.
I'm talking about a Colt Cabana, or, you know, the Young Bucks, or guys that have not been to WWE yet, or had a, you know, tryout or whatever and weren't picked up. But they're making it, you know, financially, they're making it. I 100%. Know a couple guys, but it's very rare.
I don't know if I can leave this job to work the indies 3 days a weekend, and then, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, going out there and like not being sure if, like, oh, okay, this show says I'm booked and they're running and I'm going to get a nice payday, but then all of a sudden on Thursday, like, oh, the show got canceled because the fucking building collapsed.
Right.
Whatever. But
so you want to be more in a secure place, and obviously the only secure place right now is WWE.
Right, and let's be serious. Like, everyone knows that you get into wrestling. If you think that wrestling could be a real shot and a real career for you, everyone wants to go to WWE.
So how would you...
However... Shut up. However, I would absolutely love to work for other companies. I would absolutely love to work for Impact.
Have you had any discussions with an Impact or anything like that because of the connections now that we have with Kevin and Mo and Vala and those guys?
No.
Well, I know that the doors are being opened, and I know there's a lot of communication between us and Impact and, you know, guys like Sanjay and stuff like that. Who knows you?
Yes.
Sanjay knows you. Like, you know, like a book. Like, mm-hmm. He's seen your work. So those possibilities are open. But if you had to predict, I mean, now you're 5 years into your professional wrestling career, you're 35 years old, what's next? If WWE is not the play and is not in play because of their standards, they want the 21-year-old fucking muscle-bound kid. They want the Maxwell Jacob Feinsteins of the world. Okay.
I'll say this because I'm like, whatever. You want to be, you're 20, 21, 25 even go as high as. You could say that, oh, they're younger. Good for them, they're younger. That doesn't mean they're going to amount to shit.
And it because also means they're more immature. And I'm not talking about anybody I just mentioned. I'm just saying, in general, you need a couple years of experience in life, not only just wrestling.
Right. Like,
we've lived life now, you know?
I'm glad you touched on that, because this is what I want to touch on. Because I love how they tell me that I'm too old, or that was the excuse at the time. And you have other guys that can go and beat up their fucking girlfriends. You can have people that fucking get arrested for child porn. And these are all the people that they're looking at. But then they'll turn around and say, oh, we promote family. We promote not bullying. Like, you got to be fucking kidding me. How can you say that and then turn around and tell me that I'm too old? Meanwhile, I've seen it all. I've done it all. I've been overseas. I've lived my life. I have a life. I have a wife. I have a career. Like, I do mature adult things and make the right decisions.
You're a grown man.
I am a fucking full-blown, walking, breathing man.
Yeah.
I take care of my responsibilities. And for them to tell me that I'm too old is just unacceptable. So they could tell me no all they want. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop knocking at the door.
I was just going to ask you, are you at this point of your life and career, being at your 35 and things that are upcoming in life, things, you know, like non-wrestling, is WWE still on your radar as far as like, I'm still going to try
Absolutely.
And reach out and email and call and whoever I got to talk to.
Every time. I'm still knocking on them. I'll email them tonight. I'll go home and email tonight. It's a fucking Monday. I know it's Monday Night Raw. He probably won't see the email until Wednesday. What's the worst thing that can happen? He drags it to the trash? Okay. You're going to get one on Thursday.
Right.
So.
What's that? The squeaky wheel gets the oil?
Is that sure. What
it, but yeah, no, I commend you for that because a lot of people would get discouraged. And a lot of people, you've seen the turnaround in wrestling. There's not a lot of people left that you saw 5 years ago because of the discouragement and you know, getting denied. And
that's
told
good. That
no.
just means that they're weak-minded people.
Right, and I just like you said, they're looking, I think, in the wrong direction as far as the quality of a person. Like, anybody could do these flip fucking moves and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
I'll clear this up right now. No pun intended. Fuck your flips. You suck at basketball. But seriously.
Flippy, we're talking to you.
I'm a grounded person. I'm a grounded wrestler. That's what I'm going to be. If I need to flip, it'll be there. I don't need to. I don't have to. That's not my game. That's not my style. And I'm not going to fucking do a flip because a promoter wants a super spotty indie match. It's not going to happen. My style is ground and on the mat. Whatever.
Right before we started recording, we were watching your match from Keyport, New Jersey, and you said it, and I agreed. Your strikes are fucking phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like, the little things that you do, where it's not Mr. fucking, you know, when you did the springboard elbow drop, I was like, oh, well, Chris can fly. You know, like, imagine that. But it's truly based on where you're working, how you're working. I always said this, work smarter, not harder, especially in a business where your body is on the line every day. Every time you're in the ring, something can go wrong. I tore my ACL on a fucking headlock takeover. You know what I mean? Like, things happen all the time. And it's, I mean, yes, the quality of worker that was working with me at the time fucking fucked me up. And his repayment to me, by the way, was a pizza. So anyway.
Well, you ate it.
Yeah, I did eat it. But overall, I mean, the grand scheme of things right now, WWE's still on your radar. Pro wrestling's still on your radar.
Everything's on my radar. Like, I have no intention on stopping. Like, I'm pushing. And the best part about it is that my wonderful, wonderful, beautiful wife has been tolerating all of this shit. Tolerating. She's the most supportive and pushing person I've ever met in my life. Because I know other people that would just been like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why, you're in your mid-30s. Why are you still doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I still doing this? Because you don't know the excitement and the pleasure that I get from being in a ring and being in front of a crowd and being there with the boys during setup and just going over the match and stuff like that.
Speaking of setup.
No, we're not going to touch on that.
No. But in general, I totally agree. It takes a support system at home first and foremost to make sure, because there's a lot of, like, I remember when I started, it was, you saw the overwhelming support, and then month by month, it gets smaller, it gets smaller, it gets smaller, then you feel like you're alone, and you're like, why the fuck am I doing this anymore if nobody's going to be proud of me? Just recently, within the last couple months, I've gotten the whole, I'm proud of you, look what you're doing, you know what I mean? So if you're getting that now, still, after all the, you know, the setbacks, whether it be not so much injuries, you've been, knock on wood, you've been relatively healthy. I mean, you complain about everything, but in general.
Bro, just like everybody else, I get my nagging injuries and bumps and shit like that. I've had tendonitis for a year and a half of my leg. You think I give a shit?
I still can't walk around my apartment in the morning without, and maybe that's just old age, and I'm not saying I was a bump machine.
It's all the pizza.
Yeah, it's the health and the constant nutrients I'm getting. But overall, you got the support. You're still going to keep pushing on. We're going to take a break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to get to the questions, all fucking four of them.
Four of them.
So we're going to get to the questions, and we'll be right back.
What do you hear? What do you say? It's your boy Gino Guts, back with another edition of Kicked in the Head on the Destruction 101 podcast. We are no longer exclusive to the Shining Wizards Network. I mean, I love my boys, but hey, we're moving up. We're moving on. Not moving on. We're moving up. like the Jeffersons, like George Jeffersons. We're moving on up to B Plus Player Radio. Welcome to the four new listeners that Mark Adam Gosler has brought to us with B Plus Player Radio. Don't worry, guy. The ratings, they're coming. The big money is here, and I'm not talking Vargas. I know. 8 out of 10 listeners just went, who? Don't worry about it. Just some big mook in the BBWF that is a loser. Anyways, I'm having a great morning. It's about 6:30, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which should be the standard time for the rest of the world, but I digress. The sun is out. The birds are chirping. I just finished my espresso with just a dash of Zambuca. Gotta get that pre-workout in, right, big guy? Anyways, I got my morning commute to work. Why am I in a good mood then? Basically, it's summertime, and the teachers are off the road. There's gonna be a whole lot less traffic, because more than half the workforce, at least around here, is teachers. They ain't gonna be on the road. They're still sitting in their beds catching some Z's. I'm all right with that. Ladies, go to the beach, working that summer bod, working that summer tan. Come home, make your man a sandwich. Make sure you cut that sumbitch diagonal so he gets peanut butter and jelly in a whole bite. You don't want to get that, you know, peanut butter more, jelly less ratio. So make sure you cut it diagonal to make sure you ensue the proper peanut butter to jelly ratio. This has been another edition of Kicked in the Head. Not sure where I was going, but I went anyway. Don't forget, people, you're only as good as your last envelope, so keep that hustle going, baby.
Whatever the hell I played during the break, or maybe kicked in the head, or something like that. Gino Gotch, shout out there. We're here with Chris Payne. We obviously went through his whole story, obviously from start to finish to where he's at right this second. But we will get to some of the questions. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Four questions for total. Chris Payne. Yeah, it's quick. Summer Clayman, who's a fan of everybody's, she asked Chris Payne, why did you become a police officer? Where was that decision made?
Being a police officer is something that I always had in my head that I wanted to do when I was younger, as well as being a pro wrestler. And to be honest, it was the most achievable at the time.
At the time, okay. So it was an achievable goal.
No, I actually, you know, I get angry a lot at stupid shit, but I can't stand stupidity, and I just feel like I'm surrounded by it sometimes. But I absolutely love helping people. I like helping people that can't help themselves. And I know that I'll get the job done if somebody needs help. So,
all right. Mike Malario, who is Ace's number one fan, Coach D. What do you love most about pro wrestling, and what part of wrestling is the most frustrating? This could be an hour. Go ahead.
Do we have time? What do I love most about pro wrestling? Wrestling, you know, when you get to the arena, it's like a fraternity. You're there with your brothers. You're there with people that you like to be around. You're like, you enjoy spending time with these people. And then leading up to the show, you're getting ready, you're putting a show together, and you know you're going out there to perform for people and entertain and do something that you love to do. Like, I love going out in front of the crowd. And, you know, just like anything else, it's a grind. You have to learn what's good for you and what's not. And you learn how to be a better performer while you're out there. So, you put it all to everything. Gets bold into one. That's what I love about wrestling. It's a fraternity, and you get to perform and be an ass and be athletic and do all types of shit that you can't normally do with other shit.
Okay, and what's the most frustrating part about pro wrestling?
The most frustrating part about pro wrestling is the easiest thing is probably the politics, because I'm so sick of seeing the boys getting booked because they're best friends with whoever. I will never bow down to any fucking promoter because that's just what they want, so that they feel like they're in charge. Like, I want to wrestle at these other promotions because I want to go out there and show other people what I can do. I don't want to have to fucking politic and kiss my ass through fucking.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, it's never going to go away. I know it's not. It's a fucking pipe dream to think that it will. But, you know, the struggle to get booked is fucking ridiculous. And like I had touched on earlier, like, you can go to a wrestling, any independent show right now, and you'll have three fucking solid matches, and then the rest of the card is all boys that are getting booked because they're friends with the promoter or they trained with somebody. And it's just ridiculous. You want to put out the best product you possibly can, but you're going to use fucking half-assed people that aren't even trained.
Agreed. Agreed. I think there's just way too many shitty companies out there. And sometimes it's not their fault. Like, if they don't have the budget or they don't have the necessity tools or just the necessity, like the necessary elements to run a promotion, then maybe they shouldn't run a promotion.
That's pretty much.
That, you know, and if you don't have a budget, like, for instance, I've said it and I've gone on record. If I don't get paid, I'm not going to go. Like, it's just a way. Like, I understand we're not in this for the money, but we're also.
But at the same time, you know your value. Know your worth.
Right. Know your worth. I've been saying it for weeks and months and years that everybody should know their exact worth. So when somebody can't use you because of budget reasons, I find that to be very hard to believe because I know what kind of crowd you're going to draw and I know what kind of shit you're going to use. So don't use that shit. So that's really it.
Not even that. Like, I wrestle because I love to wrestle.
Right.
I know that going out on a weekend to wrestle for one show is not going to pay my fucking rent. Right. It might help a little bit. So if you're worried about your bank being broken, I am not the guy that's going to hold you up for money and fucking tell you, like, oh, I need this amount or I'm not coming in. Like, talk to me. We'll work.
All right. Casey Cattell asks, how much?
In regards to what?
I have no idea.
Sometimes I do stuff pro bono.
So that answers that. Blaine Taft, who seems to be a good supporter of you and myself. And
yeah, solid guy.
Can I get a refund on all my Chris Payne t-shirts?
All sales are final, and I will tell you this. I have just checked my files, and according to the Chris Payne fan club, your resubscription is coming up soon, so you owe me money. Thank you.
Wait, so he's got a monthly subscription? He just gets a shirt?
And he gets it, no, rate? He buys his shirt, but he's also subscribed to the Chris Payne fan club, and... He needs to pay his enrollment fee because he's almost past due.
That is fantastic. Blaine, shout out to Blaine, a very cool fan of my show, of everybody, really. I
mean, get rid of your beard, you fucking hipster.
Oh, dude, I love the beard. I'm a beard guy. That's awesome.
It's irrelevant how nice it is. He needs to get rid of it.
He grooms it. It's not like he's just a disgusting...
fucking hippie.
All right. I'm just trying to figure out if there's any more questions. Money Morales, my commentating partner from Battle Club Pro, asked... Most rewarding part of being an officer for the NYPD, besides the money.
All the looks I get from the chicks. No, no. Like I said, I get a certain enjoyment by helping people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like to help people. Like I want to help people if they can't help themselves. So right. Knowing that I've made a difference in somebody's life, even if it's by saying hello. Listen, we can joke all day about how miserable I am, and mm-hmm. I'm not a miserable person. Like I said, I hate stupidity. But
and we're surrounded by it, unfortunately.
But I am probably one of, if not the nicest cops you will have ever met in your life. Because I will go out of my way to say hello to people. Just because that's the way I am. I'm a police officer. I'm there for you. I'm there for the community. So if I look at you and I have to pass a comment like, look at this fucking guy, then why am I doing it? Right. Why are you in that profession?
Right.
Obviously, you can't stand people. So why would you help somebody? Why would you even take a job where you have to help people and interact with somebody? I want to interact with people. I will say hello to you. If you give me a nasty look, then I'll just go fuck myself in a corner. Otherwise, the most rewarding thing is being able to help people that can't help themselves.
I like that answer. And I hope that answers all of your questions, because, I mean, it was very short notice. And
you literally... go down the list, Dave.
That's it.
No, the list is... that's another list.
That.
Oh, that's for the next guest.
Yeah.
Who isn't booked yet, but he'll have more questions.
Exactly. We want to thank you for tuning in with Chris Payne. Obviously, you've heard his story. You heard his come-ups, his trials and tribulations on being in the pro wrestling biz. It's very frustrating, and you know, that's life, man.
It's frustrating, I mean, but rewarding at the same time.
Right. I always think, and especially recently, I think the good outweighs the bad by like a lot. 100%. Nowadays. Absolutely. Under Pat and under WrestlePro's banner, and not that banner, WrestlePro's actual like company, I think that's just, it's phenomenal. It's been fun. So,
WrestlePro speaks for itself.
It really does. And there's more exciting stuff on the way. Hopefully you get some great opportunities coming forward. And look, September, the fall lineup is going to be stacked. We all, you can find Chris Payne. Follow him on all social medias if you want to plug that real quick, because I don't know him off the top of my head. On the Twitter.
It's at House of C Payne 24.
24, yeah. Yes. For whatever reason, the 24 number was on your first pair of tassels.
Because, listen, okay, another thing.
And the boot tassels.
Another thing. 24, for those of you that really want to know, is because of Ken Griffey Jr., my favorite athlete of all time. would have went down as the best baseball player who ever lived.
Had he not got injured,
had he not got injured a thousand times. And would have broke the record steroid-free if he didn't break his wrist against the Yankees, crashing into the wall trying to catch a fly ball. Which he did catch, by the way, which was an hour.
I do remember. I do remember this.
56 home runs and he was out 6 weeks. So you do the math on how many home runs he would have hit.
Probably hit around 80. Yeah. Not as much as Aaron Judge will probably hit this year because he's already on a tear, so we'll see about
him,
that.
Him and Cena are on the same, training program.
So anyway, you can follow him on Twitter, find him on Facebook. His name's Chris Payne.
Chris Payne, P-A-Y-N-E.
He is obviously featured in WrestlePro.
CPayne24 on Instagram.
On Instagram. He did sign up for Snapchat. I don't even know if he uses the fucking thing. But
I don't have Tumblr because people get in trouble on Tumblr, apparently, if you're a pro wrestler.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck that.
Anyway... that was really rude of you, by the way. But anyway, follow him on all social medias, contact him, shoot him a message, be creepy, and all that sorts of shit. Chris,
obviously. If you would like to book me and you want my email, because apparently email's the way to go, chrispayne024@yahoo.com.
If you want his matches, he's got them well in hand. He's got them all sent to him, so he will send you all his shit. Book this man. I've obviously got him on to... the battle club scene, and you know, tier one has done a lot of. There's a lot of opportunities out there for Payne.
Yeah, you'll see. You'll be seeing me at tier one FBW. I think battle club.
I'll talk to Carlos on that one.
And WrestlePro in the near future.
Yeah. So thank you again for joining me and coming out to my humble abode in the hood. And yeah, until next time.
Did I bring my gun?
All right. Thank you very much, Chris Payne. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. A little insight as to. What happens when you first start in pro wrestling? He's going on 5 years now. He's past 5 years now. And these are the things that you come up on. Trials and tribulations. Sad times. Good times. Mostly the good times outweigh the bad times. But there seems to be a lot of complaining in pro wrestling. Especially around the people that I know. Stop bitching. Like, just accept things for as they come. And just embrace the beautiful thing that is professional wrestling. Anyway, a couple more things before I wrap things up. As I record this part of the podcast, I just got back from hanging out in the pool by myself on a Tuesday. So tomorrow, Wednesday, when this drops, hopefully I would have a successful pool party. I don't even want to call it a pool party, which, you know what? My stepsister doesn't listen to this. I put the weather out there on my Snapchat, Dave Destruction 2. She screenshotted it. And in my head, I'm like, did she just screenshot it to send it to like my stepmom and my dad, like, oh, Dave's throwing a party. I'm 30 fucking one. Like, I don't throw parties anymore. If people want to come out and hang out with me at the pool, drink a couple beers, that's okay. Like, I'm not throwing a rager. It's not Project X. Like, it's none of that shit. Like, it's just hang out and relax. So, as you're listening to this, I could very well be drunk, passed out, dead on the bottom of my pool. Who knows? Who knows? But, so that's tomorrow. But, as far as a couple of notable things that are coming up in the sports world, obviously the Yankees are like struggling right now. It's upsetting to me because they were on such a hot streak, and this is something I know Raleigh and the Soares would have touched on, but they could not make it onto the show this week. They will be recording next week. This is what happens when I get into bed with bad people, as Jamie told me. But no, they're cool. I mean, you know, sometimes they just don't have the time, and that's totally cool. So the interview actually clogged up a lot of space, which is nice. Made this a longer podcast, which is nicer. And then, but going forward, I'll be going to coach, assistant coach, starting on June 26th, which is next Monday. So I'll be able to report on that when I record next Tuesday on my first day of training camp, which is pretty cool. So I've been binge watching some of the Hard Knocks stuff. And I'm weird like that. Like, to get me pumped up for something like a training camp, I want to see the pros training camp. I want to get in that groove. I want to get in that mode of becoming a coach and not dealing with kids, but dealing with like people that are aspiring to be or get college scholarships and kids that are actually, they want it and they want to win and succeed. Not like flag football kids where they think the fucking score is tied and participation trophies and shit like that. And I want to be able to curse more and get in the face of some punk kid who thinks he's, you know, Odell Beckham. And I'm saying, you know, straighten him up right then and there. So coaching starts next week. I'm excited for that. I start my summer school, extended school year, July 5th. So the day after July 4th, I'll be back at the school, a different school, Franklin Park School, which I'll be working with a one-on-one. And, you know, I got my assignment. At first, I was like, oh my God, like another something, a special student, whether it be mental or behavior or whatever the case may be, I'm just like, oh, you know, I can't believe this. But, you know, after thinking about it and, like, you know, crunching it down and talking to fellow teachers and my friends in the business of teaching and educators and the phenomenal teachers out there like Lindsay, you know, like those people out there that are talk to me on the regular, it's not their fault. These kids, you know, there's something obviously wrong. So, like, why am I going to sit there and bitch and whine about helping them out? That's silly, especially if you just listen to the Chris Payne interview that he became a cop because he wanted to help people. I want to do that too. That's the only reason why I got into teaching and into coaching and all this other shit. So for me to bitch and whine about my assignment per se is kind of stupid, and I won't do that going forward. I'm going to have a good summer. My availability in the summer is going to be more open but busy at the same time, if that makes any sense. In July, I know there's evening practices from 3 to 6 after my whole day of 8:30 to 2:30. So from 8:30 till about 6, I'll be busy pretty much all July. So, and that's Monday through Thursday. So I'll have my three-day weekends every weekend, which is cool. Get on the boat, drink some brew, and, you know, hang out with friends. But on the wrestling front, there's not a lot of stuff going on in the summer, which it's a smarter deal because things are, you know, a lot hotter in the summer. I know I have a couple events in July, one in August, three in August, I don't even know, but not as frequent. So we're all gearing up and really our eyes are set on September 9th and our return to Rawway for the fall season, because we have September, October, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we got a show every week for WrestlePro, which is kind of insane if you think about it. So the fall and the winter are always my favorite times of the year as far as for a wrestling front. The buildings are cooler and, like, nobody's really restless or anything like that, so it's fun. What else? Oh, one more thing, only because it's a relevant topic and I've been talking to people about it on social media, is the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight that is set to do battle on August 26th, I want to say, which is a Saturday, 26th? Yeah, 27th, because I just scheduled my fantasy football league's draft on the 27th, which is that Sunday. So maybe that's not a good idea. I might be drunk. But basically what this is, to me, is a huge publicity stunt. Both fighters, in their own right, are one of, if not the best fighter of all time. McGregor, not so much. I think he's got a lot more to prove. Sure, he's a shit talker, and he's mastered that game. He has mastered that game. So that's on that front, fine. He's one of the best. Floyd, he hasn't lost. So not too many people could say that. Rocky Marciano could say that. Nobody else can. The greats have been defeated. Tyson, Ali, Foreman, Frazier, they've all been defeated. He hasn't. So the rules are simple. It's a boxing match. So right away, I think the edge goes to Floyd. And he's not only the best because of his record, but he's also the best defensive boxer. It's very hard to catch him with anything. If McGregor thinks he's going to go flying out there with free swinging, he's out of his mind. And I know he can talk a big game, and this will be sold as the greatest event ever, and maybe even crush box office hits. I just don't see McGregor with much of a fighting chance to win. Let alone he's not going to knock out Floyd Mayweather. That if that's a prop bet, I'll throw $20 on there to make fucking 2,000 or whatever the odds are. But that's about it. Like, that's all it is for the sucker bet to for it to happen. I'm excited about the lead up. I'm sure it's going to be just hella press conferences, and it's not that far away. We're only 2 months away, so they're not really giving like a whole 6 month camp or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to come quick. But I'm more excited about the fight this Saturday. If you're an MMA fan. One of my favorite fighters, probably my favorite, maybe my second favorite fighter. I have like top three fighters. He's number two. Number one would be Chuck Liddell. Number two, this Saturday, Chael Sonnen gets back in the octagon for Bellator. Go check out his fight. It's on pay-per-view. And number three being Frankie Edgar, the hometown boy. I've met him. I met his family. Awesome people. But yeah, to me, I'm always going to be an MMA guy. I'm not so much a boxing guy. My brother is a boxing guy. His crew of people are boxing guys. They can talk to you for hours about the undercards of boxing fights. I can't do that. I know the mainstream shit. I'll follow that. I'll follow when the Floyd and Pac-Man stuff was happening. I'll follow the Triple G fight in September. But like, I won't. It's hard for me to follow that sport as a whole, because to me, I don't think it's as good. MMA is always stacked. It's got a plethora of talent. It's just a lot of shit going on with MMA. But when push comes to shove and it's boxing against MMA and it's a boxer versus an MMA fighter and it's a boxing match, I mean, come on, people. You lean towards the boxer. That's just the way it is. But with that being said, I'm going to wrap this week up. You can follow me on Twitter at Dave Sturch. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/DaveDestruction, DSTRUCTION. There is no E in destruction. Just go D to S. You can follow me on the Facebook page, Destruction101, facebook.com/Destruction101. Follow me on Instagram, Dave Destruction. You can follow me on Snapchat, which I've been adding more people a little by little. Just, you know, again, able to expand my shit just a little more. Dave Destruction 2. And other than that, that's really about it. I guess follow Chris Payne on all his stuff. Go back and rewind to, get back on that. WrestleProOnline.com for all your WrestlePro stuff. Go follow everybody. Take a gander at the entire lineup for the Shining Wizards Network, along with the B Plus Player Radio Network. Thank you again for having me, and hopefully episode 25 gets you kicked off with us for a boom. I will see all you guys next week if I survive the pool party. See you later.
Bye.